We are in the 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. I wish my voice could not be like, it sounds very formal right then. Like whenever we come back, I feel like I need to sound like,
yeah.
Hey, yo, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. I'm joking.
Listen, I had to host, a few days ago, and like, I'm pretty sure people will probably welcome your soothing sounds because I'm just coming in going, what is up? What is up at 7? A little bit juiced, but man.
Slightly.
I'm also mad at you right now because I told you last segment to remind me to do something, and it's not your job to do it, but both of us forgot. And I was like, you know what? I need to tell people that I'm going to be at Dudley's in Lithonia on Saturday night from 5 to 7, doing a little Texas Georgia preview. I mean, obviously, it's a Texas Georgia like tailgate, but Bama and Tennessee will be on the TV. So I'm just vibing out from all angles. So if you're going to be around, hit me up. We'll be down in Dudley's on Saturday evening to get a little bit rowdy for some college football action. So it's going to be an interesting weekend from that standpoint. But, man, I'm looking forward to seeing the people, man, getting out there and having some fun Saturday night.
And then you'll be ready for Sunday, too, right? Mm. That'll help you lead into the Falcon-Seahawks game.
Yeah. Go home. Go to sleep. Falcon-Seahawks. Game time.
Boom. So I won't say that I can, like, predict the future or know what's coming in the show that I am a part of, but I'm looking at the cut sheet, and that's what we call it when we look at this sheet and we pick sound bites to play for you all. And on this cut sheet, there's a number 4, and it says Coach Raheem Morris, when asked about DK Metcalf having a fumbling problem, which I did bring that up earlier in the show, per the Seattle Times, pointing out that he needs to take better care of the football. And DK called himself out for that. 3 fumbles, I think he said he's been a part of this season. So let's hear Raheem Morris on, if it is a problem.
You know, the reason he has the fumbles, obviously he plays hard. And right. He plays
driving the extra yard.
He plays with extra effort, and he plays that way. And that's how he's always been. And, like, it's our job to still go try to force those turnovers on everybody, not just one man, but, like, as many as we can get to get the ball back to our offense to create short fields.
That was Coach Raheem Morris on our Dukes and Bell. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they are talking about it internally, making it maybe more of a bigger deal. I don't know. You've been in meetings before, not on the defensive side of the ball, but is there stuff that you've picked up on before?
Sure.
Where it's like, they'll say, you know, whatever outside, but then it's like, yo, we know this guy. Maybe something fumbles or in his head. We can maybe take it to him.
And you know, obviously, Nate Landman, a couple forced fumbles, although both of them kind of go out of bounds. And then you look at Jesse Bates, whose right hook is just as nasty as like Mike Tyson in his prime right now, knocking the ball out. And so I think when you look at it from that angle, there's a lot to be had there. We've already talked about the fact that Seattle is a pass-happy team, and their success rate usually comes from passing the ball. Tiff, I'll let you in on this insight. When I was in college, we didn't talk about the other team's players. Like, it wasn't a thing. And I don't know if it was, like, a Saban thing or, like, whatever, but we just never, like, talked about their guys. It was just like, you just
worried
focus
about
on
us. Worried about
focus,
us.
Yeah, focus on what you do. You do your job.
So that wasn't just talk when a coach says that.
Right.
I mean, I know you teams are, but.
But in the NFL, it's a little bit different. Like, I get here, and, like, one of the first things we do is, like, Julius Peppers picture on screen. You're like, if we don't block this guy, it's going to be a long day. And I think you have to do that. I think Mike Smith and Mike Mularkey and all those guys were right to do that, because it's like, if you don't talk about what these dudes do well, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are, that guy will mess you up. That guy's a Hall of Famer, right? And so it's a little bit different. But I am assuming that at some point, at least in the DB room, you probably put DK Metcalf on the screen, talk about how big he is, talk about how fast he is, but also include the fumbling problem. Right, or lack thereof, whatever you want to look at it at. He has been a guy that obviously 11 targets, was not able to come down with a big touchdown last weekend, but 3 catches on 11 targets last week. It's something that he's obviously struggled with at times, and I just know that this is an opportunistic defense, and it's one of these groups that really wants to get things going in terms of takeaways because, as we've talked about, you don't have the sacks.
This is also true, and they do want to get things going. It might be maybe a little more challenging this weekend, considering some of the injuries that are going on. So when you look at the injury report from yesterday, you had linebacker Troy Anderson, you had Lorenzo Carter, both of those guys not present on the field, labeled as out on the team's injury report. Also in that mix was Justin Simmons, their safety. But back to the linebackers, though, they really want to get their guys back. Here's Coach Morris again talking about the linebackers.
Can't wait for them to get back. I like problems, you know, like
those are really good problems. We talked about in the beginning of the year, how do you play all three of those guys? And we kind of started doing some things and playing with packages and getting them in there in certain stops and making them really compete and get at a high level and be able to go out there and play. So, like, when he gets back, that fires us up. I mean, JD's thrown himself into the mix. So, like, the more things you can have for people, the more opportunities you can provide for your guys and your players, the harder the guys go, the better practice is, the more competitive the nature is. You know, we got a competitive deal just in our own personal department that you work in. You know, you guys write, everybody's writing over there. It's awesome. And then I can't wait to read you guys' articles. I don't read anything. I'm just joking.
I don't read that stuff.
He's listening right now.
I don't read.
He's probably not.
Yeah. You got to read the articles. You mean to tell me Raheem Morris is not reading the game previews? You know what I'm saying?
He watches the one on NFL Network.
The 5-minute breakdown.
Yeah, with the guy Rhymes.
The guy's got his little funny quips that he throws out there.
Wait, can we have some fun here?
No.
No?
No fun. It's no fun zone.
We'll have fun.
What are you wearing?
What?
He's talking about my sweatshirt.
You know what? I'm sorry. Actually, let me start over. Yes, you can, because I deserve every bit of it.
Good. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to have a slow clap going when you walked in. No. But
I was this close to putting it on
the socials. I'm usually the number one offender. You know when someone's like bad about things and then they see somebody else fall down like with them?
Yeah, want misery loves company.
Misery loves company? Yeah. No.
You're a pile jumper. It's okay.
Oh, man.
I'm not late a lot, but when
Never.
I am,
I thought something
I
was
go
wrong.
Overboard.
Yeah, you're like, if I'm going to do it, I might as well get my Z's.
There was something wrong. I overslept. Yeah. I was like,
he's not answering. I was like, good to have you here with us,
thanks.
Buddy.
I know that you're kidding, and you don't bother me. The shame I have, like I feel like the walk of shame, but I did the drive of shame because I had to drive with the regular people
bad.
In traffic. I just
try
feel,
with sweatpants and heels. No,
I mean,
just kidding.
Yeah, well,
just kidding, just kidding.
I'm not, man. I could go in there, but I feel like I just walked across a campus with no shirt on, in my boxers, with like one shoe on, and not knowing which direction to go.
Yeah,
but you're here.
No, there's no doubt about that, and that's a bad feeling. I know that everybody out there listening has felt that before too. So.
You had a question?
Yeah, I'm going to get back. I want to get back to the Seahawks really quick because I think Bo can kind of answer this. Yeah. And when we look at this matchup, and you just talked about Tiff in the injury report, Troy Anderson, Justin Simmons. When I think
that's
of that.
That's just the defense, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Well, when I think of that and I think of what their running game is, but more than that, what Kenneth Walker means in the passing game. So Kenneth Walker last week on Thursday Night Football against the Niners, 14 rushes for 32 yards. Not good. 8 catches for 37 yards. I also look at what Carolina tried to do to Nate Lamon in the passing game last week. What did they do? They bring in Miles Sanders, who I think only had one touch in the backfield, but they put him on a passing route and get him matched up with Nate Lamon. They saw an opportunity to do that. I am curious how Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake will go about defending Kenneth Walker out of the backfield in the passing game. It's obviously a pass-happy attack, and you have to be able to do that. But when I hear Justin Simmons, when I hear Troy Anderson, guys that would be great options to be able to kind of negate that out of the backfield, that kind of starts to raise an antenna for me.
Well, I feel differently about those two players as far as their health goes. I think Justin Simmons will play Sunday. If you had to ask me today, which you kind of just did, if I think Justin Simmons will play, I would tell you yes. Troy Anderson, I'm not so confident on. I also think all of that depends on where they're at. Like that, Miles Sanders was Carolina's third down running back, and every third down he came in, it was clear that is their usage of Miles Sanders. You could see it immediately through like a quarter. That's the only reason they're using him. When it comes to Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, they kind of use them the same. They really split between those two. I don't think Charbonnet is getting enough credit in the Atlanta media right now. Everybody's talking about Kenneth Walker. Hell, I'm just as worried about Zach Charbonnet as I am Kenneth Walker, because I think they're very similar in their usage or the lack of usage that Seattle has for them in the run game.
You sound like somebody that owns him on your fantasy team. You sound like somebody that owns Zach
okay,
Charbonnet.
Well, do you
own him on your fantasy team?
I do.
Okay, I'm just
I do, but listen.
Truth comes out.
One has 51 touches on the ground, and one has 49. One has 5 touchdowns on the ground. The other has 3. One has 21 catches. The other has 19. So while Kenneth Walker is more productive in the running game, Zach Charbonnet is actually more productive in the passing game as far as the yards he gets out of his catches. when it comes to, I would hope that we've done a good job on first and second down, and we have them in third and seven to where I don't really care which linebacker is on them, that we're able to kind of give them that 4 to 5 yards and just get them to the ground. Because I can tell you one thing, Nate Landman is as sure of a tackler as you're going to get. And he lights you up. The physicality that he brings to the defense is unmatched in the linebacker room. That's why his injury was so much more important than people realized through the first 4 or 5 games. I think that's part of the reason the run game was gashed to the point that it was. And you saw last week that they were able to rein that in a little bit. Because you can talk about who Carolina was missing or wasn't missing on the offensive line. They are still a decent enough offensive line to get going in the run game. And you kind of, other than that one drive, they didn't really do that to that point.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is Coach Morris did say that Troy Anderson is trending in the right direction and that he's progressing. So we'll see if maybe they can get him back this weekend. We're going to stick with the NFL, and we're going in the huddle. Lots of trades went down on Monday, but which player is going to make an immediate impact this weekend? We'll tell you next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're getting you set to go in the huddle, but we were just talking about it in the break. I think everyone can be happy about this. Like the Federal Trade Commission now has a click to cancel rule. All those times where like you could sign up for something really easily, but then when you tried to cancel it or quit it, you could never find a link to quit it. There's a certain gym down here that starts with like an X kind of thing, and they did that crap to me.
I think it's all gyms.
It's all gyms, right?
There's one that starts with an L, has been getting $10 a month for me for an account for Amy because I was too lazy to mail a letter. Because you had to mail a letter.
There used to be a gym that would make you do it in person. And it was basically so that they could guilt you and be like, have you reached your fitness goals?
Let me tell you something. If it's in person, that's easy for me. I have no problem being a jerk to human beings in person. It's when I got to write a letter what drives me nuts.
Well, the sales dude told me, you could anytime, lied in person. You can quit anytime. So for a whole year, I never went back to them.
Well, he's not wrong.
But was still paying for it.
Hold on, he didn't lie to you. You could have quit.
He omitted.
You just couldn't quit the gym.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I needed to be like, if you want to get out of this, show us proof that you're moving. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You're that hard pressed for this. You know, I can't say enough bad things about that place.
I don't want to get off track, but when you guys went to college, did you ever sign up for things that you knew you shouldn't have done? Like, I remember walking into the student center at Kennesaw State, and they had a credit card company. And it was like, if you sign up for this credit card, you get this free Kennesaw State shirt with Scrappy on the back. And I'm 18.
Damn, I never did that.
I'm 18 years old. I'm like, I want a Scrappy T-shirt.
Dude.
And so I got it. The credit card came to my house, and my mom could probably go to jail for this. I think she committed mail fraud. Because
she opened it up.
She opened it because she saw the company, and she saw my name on it. She opened it. She hid that credit card from me for years.
Probably helped your credit.
That's good.
No, it did help. No, I'm grateful at this point. But I was like, I've had free money for this whole time, and you've been hiding it from me.
I had my story like that is I had a game day apartment in Tuscaloosa. When I got done playing ball, I was like, I'm going to get a game day apartment, like right next to the stadium. And the reviews for this rental company were as like terrible as you can possibly think of. It was all based on location for this rental company. So I go through this. I had this lease for like 3 years, game day apartment in Tuscaloosa. I mean, 150 yards from the stadium over there from Bryant Denny. And so things started like it had to have been a 60-year-old apartment. Things were breaking, closet doors falling off, the door handles not working, like sinks breaking. And I'm like, man, I'm only here like 8 weekends out of the year max, right? I'm not going to call and have the rental company come during the week and fix all this stuff. So I just kind of put the closet door to the side, put the doorknob to the side. When I left and my lease ended, dude, they charged me for every single repair. They're like $50 to repair the closet door, $35 repair for a new doorknob. I was like, what the? I was like, dude, how can you charge me $250 for stuff that's y'all's old crap? And it's because I didn't report it at the time, man.
Oh, yeah, you gotta report stuff.
Dude, predatory, man. Don't do that. I'm just telling you.
I know.
So shout out to the click to cancel. Love it.
Same. All right, let's go in the huddle. So could the Falcons have like a X factor, a secret weapon for them this weekend? I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yes. Possibly, yes. And he probably won't even see the field.
What?
You hope he doesn't see
the
field.
Are you teasing?
Camouflage? Is the secret agent. Just
no, I'm not teasing.
No, I mean, I'm saying, are you just teasing it? Or are we going to talk about this?
No, I'm just kind of setting the guy to my right up, which is today you, and you're normally to my left. But that's what happens when you don't show up on time.
I asked them before you got here. I said, should I move?
Seats.
And then I was like, no, I'm straight Wolf of Wall Street. I ain't leaving.
I said, absolutely.
Coming out of this chair.
I said, you should absolutely.
I will be filing a ticket with engineering today because I can only hear out of one side of my ear.
It's so bad over there.
Oh, it's happening.
It's so bad.
It's happening.
No, man, like we in the conversation about Ryan Grubb, we've talked about how pass happy that offense is in Seattle. And Ryan Grubb, obviously the offense coordinator last year for Michael Penix and Kalen DeBoer up in Washington. So it will be interesting to see, if anything, because I think there are concepts and things that obviously Michael Penix can point out.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Do you think, now I would have, but you think Jimmy Lake and Ra were like, Michael, be in the office at Monday morning at 8 a.m.
Oh, for sure.
And then they're going to sit him down and be like, do you recognize this?
Yeah.
Do you recognize this formation?
Yes.
Do you hear this call?
Why
did you
is
use
he,
that?
Why is he doing this? Why is he breaking this route off at the top?
It's like,
why is he running the comeback at 5 yards when they need eight to gain?
Have you ever seen this motion? Is this the man?
Like, DK Metcalf, you know, the lip readers.
Yeah.
Why can't we, like he was talking to Ryan Grubb on the headset, can we run past the sticks, please? Can we throw
past
the sticks?
Maybe he was, but, you know, Coach Morris, he was asked if Penix is doing that, helping them to prepare for Grubbs.
Tell Grubb, man, we got Michael Penix in the room right now. We didn't let him out for 3 days. We got a light in his face shining on him, man, making us give us everything, man. We got every signal, so make sure he changed every single signal. No, I'm just kidding, man. Obviously, he talks about the stuff that he knows from when he played for the guy in college and some of the mentality and things of that nature, but You know, everybody in National Football League questioned guys that played on different teams, and be able to talk about those things, and having the guy that he coached last year and did a heck of a job with that we got a lot of fondness for. Obviously, we got a lot of respect for Grubbs and what he's been doing.
And it's tendencies, right? Hey, what was it? What did you guys like to do on third and two? Like, you know, or if there was, you know, if he got to second and one around the 45 of either side of the field, what was the percentage? Now in Washington's offense, probably extremely high. What was the percentage you take a shot downfield?
Right,
and because that was and that's honestly what he's brought to Seattle is a lot of that. That's why you see the running game. I mean, their two running backs combined. Our second string running back has as many carries, which is Tyler Algier would be considered our second option, literally has the same amount of carries that Kenneth Walker does, and he's their leading rusher.
I just don't know. I'd be curious to know how much you actually gain from Michael Penix in this situation. Like you said, it's more mentality and like which ways you lean, but like it'd be like, I mean, I guess it's kind of a bad thing, but you know, Baker Mayfield knows Zach Robinson. It'd be kind of like Baker Mayfield. Well, what is Zach Robinson? It's like, I don't know.
I disagree with that aspect. Does he know Zach Robinson? Zach Robinson wasn't calling plays for him.
Sure.
Zach Robinson was just sitting in a room with Baker Mayfield for maybe 4 weeks at the end of a season saying, yeah, I'd have thrown it there. Oh, I'd run it there. Or, man, I'd love to do this. That's about it. This is a guy he was with for a significant amount of time where he coached him, called his plays, molded him, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I think it's different. Does
I want
that make
everyone
sense?
Out there to know.
Heard you making fun
how do
of me
I
earlier?
File workers' comp? How do I file workers' comp? I wanted everyone to hear that sound so bad.
Did you hurt yourself?
Because Dylan
the cord?
Can't hear me, so I'm trying to get his attention to play the sound, play the Raheem sound on Grubbs, and I almost died on Mike's fan contraption.
Oh, I thought it was my charger
and his
cord.
Computer
I think you broke
cord.
My charger cord too.
I broke it.
Yeah, maybe it's not charging. Let me see. Nope,
oh,
that's
your
broke.
Wait, what?
I need you to buy me a new one.
What? Talk to my agent. Hey, what's your source? I'm joking.
Wow.
No, anyone can say that as a joke. It's
hey,
a joke.
Dylan,
oh, come on.
Clip that. As many. Hold on a second. Hold
yes.
on a second.
Come
do
on.
You
that's
know,
a joke.
Do you know
as
how
if
many
you are
cuts?
Already big time black
no,
man
it's
here.
A joke. Come on. How
agent.
Many people say that jokingly without an agent? People say that all the time.
All
it's
right.
an expression.
Can I honestly say I've never said
I'm
that.
Just saying that
people
needs to be clipped.
All the time.
There are about 70 cuts of me talking about my meat in that computer because Bo
Accurate.
Johnson on the Steakhouse played every freaking one of them yesterday in succession.
That's
I mean, I'm listening to the Steakhouse in the car wash, and I'm like, oh my God, this is uncomfortable. How many times I've said the word meat?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and how mine taste?
It's a joke. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
We know.
Davante Adams traded to the Jets. From the Raiders, and yes, coach, the interim coach, Jeff Ulbrich, did confirm to reporters that he is expected to play against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. That broadcast, how lucky are they for the hype
goodness.
Of... Can you not wait for all the hype videos of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae flashing back to their days of the Packers and now transitioning into Jets uniform?
I can wait. Although, I'll tell you this, the package they had last week of him throwing the Hail Marys that leads right into a Hail Mary was awesome.
That was really cool.
But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That'll be kind of interesting to see how that dynamic is. Also, you know, how does the rest of the receiving corps react? You know, we talked about it yesterday. With Charles Davis, and how does the rest of that receiving corps react with some of the targets that Devontae Adams have when he just has like 1 foot in the door? So,
you know, what's weird to me is how the NFL has doubled up teams on prime times. Like the Falcons played a Monday night game, then turned around and played a Sunday night game. The Jets played a Monday night game, and now turn around and playing a Sunday night game.
I know we got to get to break, but I have been wanting to ask you all this for the last couple of days. Does it concern you? What is your level of concern that Seattle's coming off a Thursday night game? Like, I think that's a bigger deal than people realize, dude.
It's like playing a team off a bye, essentially.
I mentioned it last time, though, because it was only a big deal because the Falcons won their Thursday night game. I don't know that you get as much of a mental break when you lose, especially off a three-game losing streak the way they did.
Yeah, you had
this. True.
It sat with you, but also you did have an extra couple of days, and I say the coaching staff, to kind of look at what they've done and what's not working, and then prepare for us, which is why I think – you know, you could see Kenneth Walker get the ball a lot more on the ground.
Georgia and Texas, that Ooh. Showdown is going down on Saturday. We've got you your preview for that matchup, and we've got a mic'd up coming up.
Short mic'd up coming up. Last night, did a little trunk or treat action. My son had a group of people cheer for him for the first time over an athletic achievement. I'll tell you what he did and how excited he was to see the reaction. That's coming up next on Mic'd Up Sports Radio. 9-9 the game. Bo, we're glad you're here.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. All right, we'll get to that mic'd up. But college football on deck and what could you call this? I mean, this could be one of the biggest matchups of the season in Texas and Georgia.
Could be an elimination game,
and
Tiff.
It could also be that, for one which team. Makes it one of the biggest matches. I just wanted to, I don't know.
Yeah.
We've got honestly
for no reason, but I mean, it is going to be a good matchup.
You kind of got back-to-back elimination games on the possibility because
they all feel like elimination games at this point, other than Texas.
Do you guys agree that whoever plays in the SEC championship game, both teams are in?
Ooh.
Because I think if you have a undefeated Texas and a one loss,
Texas being in the SEC just throws me off every time.
Now, this is obviously odd to say it like this, but like, I think if you have 2 1-loss teams, they're both in. So say if Georgia goes,
for sure.
If Georgia goes and beats Texas in Austin, and then finishes the season with only the loss to Alabama, there's no way they're not in the college football playoff. There's
Wait, Alabama
none.
Though. What about?
Well,
they've got the loss to Tennessee. No,
Vanderbilt.
Excuse me.
Built. And
Vanderbilt. What do you say?
Vanderbilt.
He always says Vanderbilt.
But here's the deal. If Alabama, now let's just say Georgia beats Texas, and then Alabama and Georgia went out, they play in the SEC championship game, and Texas only has one loss. Now, see, that's how you could get three in. But look at it this way. There's no way that Alabama plays Georgia in the SEC championship game and does not go to the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree.
Win or loss.
I agree. I'll agree.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys have any idea who is leading the SEC right now without looking it up?
Well,
do you have any idea who's in first place?
It depends on what you're going by, but I would say it has to be probably Texas with 1 win in the SEC. They're 1-0 in the SEC.
Texas 2-0 in the SEC.
2-0. Who's it?
Does that help?
Who's
the other one?
Oh, Oklahoma.
Yes.
I know.
It's weird. It's weird.
Oklahoma playing South Carolina's weekend's weird,
it's
too.
It's wild.
You know what's weird for me is I recognize Texas as a SEC member, but I can't grasp Oklahoma yet for some reason.
I still can't grasp Missouri, so good for you. Like, every time I look at Missouri,
what?
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, they beat Florida enough in games that I've gotten
like
used to it.
I feel like Missouri's been in the SEC long
12 years.
Enough. To,
12 years.
Yeah, so it
but it's just not – I didn't play against them.
Okay.
And that's for
so
whatever reason
you.
I'm wired in there. I remember Texas A&M because I remember Johnny Manziel going to Tuscaloosa and beating Bama in 2012. And I was like, man, that was like the first year. But I just, Missouri just never registers to me. I don't know what it is.
I remember talking about them in the Big 12 when I was working my way up and then living in Waco.
Yes. And then at the same Texas time, A&M. I played with William Moore, Sean Weatherspoon, Atlanta. Like, it just never was a thing.
Never.
Back to my question, though. Neither one of y'all, both of y'all give up? No idea who's first place in the SEC?
Yeah, hold on. Hold on.
I'll tell you their SEC record.
Is it Vanderbilt? Because they haven't lost in the SEC, have they?
No. They did. They lost to Mizzou.
Oh, that's right. I don't know.
3-0 in the SEC. It's Texas A&M. How about that? Texas A&M is 3-0 in the SEC.
Let me tell you something.
With a loss to Notre Dame.
Something about Elko being up in the conversation for a coach of the year kind of thing. I saw some headline yesterday.
Should be.
This is a jerk 100%. Question. Don't answer it. Okay. Have you watched Texas A&M play lately? Because I'm going to tell you something. I know you're working, so
no,
you
go
can't.
Ahead. I'm not.
But
offended.
I'm going to tell you something. They are as physical up front as you can get for an SEC. I mean, they're not Texas because of the personnel. Like, they don't have, I think, the depth.
Yeah.
But their edge players on their defensive line will get. They're Gatta.
Yeah.
They get after their ass. Right?
Can I have a question? Can I have a question before we get to mic'd up? That's totally off topic. Bo is wearing an IPA hat, and I feel like that is the beer hat, like the Rob Lowe of beer hats. When he wore just the NFL hat at a game. Okay, there we go. All right.
I'll turn it around for you. It's my
now
new
I
round
see what
hat.
You're they oh, sent no, me some, I gave you a chance to plug
They sent
something.
Me some swag. But now, I will say that the Owl Inn Craft Lager.
I was going to say it's not an IPA because I asked
not
you.
Not an
was
IPA.
The first question I asked.
You know what's the funny thing about that? Is I was so mad. You're like, hey, can I ask you a question on the spot? Go, yeah. Yeah, it's on the air, Tiff. I don't think it was a Friday. I don't think you were here. And he goes, it's an IPA. I go, yeah, no, it's a craft lager.
All right, man. Hey, let's hit this mic'd up. Tis the season for the old trunk or treat. If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you just go to these random places and the kids just walk around and dress up and people throw things in their bucket and their bags and they have candy and they get a sugar rush for like 2 hours. So a lot of fun. Last night, went over to my wife's school where she works. The little trunk or treat action where you kind of go around to the classrooms. Big crowd, like whole gymnasium full of people, right, that have brought their kids from the community and things like that. So it was a really fun event. So shout out to everybody that put that on. Two things happened during this event, though, that kind of caught me off guard. Number one, little girl, and I still don't know. I don't know how this happened. And I hopefully her dad did not think I was being mean. But this little girl in a Pikachu outfit walks up, very soft-spokenly goes, no, Ty.
Who?
Pikachu.
What is that?
Like a Pokemon.
Oh.
Right? And she goes, Bata. And I was like, hey, how's it going? You know, she's probably like, I don't know, five.
I know
and
what I you're like, saying. What? How did you not know what she was saying?
I didn't. Well, I mean, like all these kids going around screaming, eating candy. And I looked at her, I said, what's that? And she goes, Roll Tide. And I was like, oh, hey, yeah, thank you. Roll Tide. Kind of looked at her dad. Dad kind of gives me a head nod. I was like, hey, man, have a good day. You know what I mean? Turns around, back of his hat says Roll Tide. I was like, okay, perfect. So she knows what's going on here. So shout out to that dad. I never got a chance to meet him. Kind of gave him just a little head nod from a ways off. But that was pretty cool. All right, so they had this event, Trunk or Treat. All right, and so what they did is they kind of made it cool for the kids where each station you go to, there's like an activity before you get your candy, right? So my son rolls up, all these high school kids. They handed him one of those little, like, little tiny little basketballs, and there's a basketball hoop hanging from a door of this classroom. And they hand him the ball. They're like, hey, young man, would you
Dunk
like some
it.
Candy?
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Get up here and shoot this shot. See if you can get his candy. My son is four, dude. Like, he's awkwardly left-handed, too. So, like, it's not like he's got, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, sitting on a goal
line. How tall was the goal?
Just kidding.
Door height, 7 feet, 8 feet, whatever.
So he was already halfway there.
Just about, right? So my son rolls up, man, having never really shot a basketball in his life. And when I tell you the backward spin off this man's left-handed jumper, and I mean nothing but net, dude, drained it. These kids, there's probably, I don't know, 10 teenagers standing around and coming up to some other kids and parents. Ah!
I know.
Lost their mind, dude, to the point that it startled my four-year-old son, to the point that it startled him, and he kind of turned around. I'm standing like 8 feet away, and he looks at me, and he's scared, and then all of a sudden this smile, like the Grinch, comes across his face, like where it just spins all the way through his cheek, and he sprinted at me and grabbed my leg, and he was like, did you see that? And I was like, dude, All right, we're going. Is it Duke or North Carolina? I don't know which one. We're going to Duke or North Carolina.
Did y'all left-handed pick him up jumper. And carry him out like Rudy?
Well, dude, and honestly, I think that's what he thought was about to happen. But his look on his face, and then he goes, "Daddy, did you see that?" And I was like, "Dude, that was the first time anybody, sporting wise or period, has ever cheered for him." And
he's
the look across his
now.
Face was just sheer, just joy.
And more importantly, he gets candy.
Yes. And he just like he tore that Kit Kat they handed him. He tore that thing a new one when he walked out of that room.
Hey, Mike,
he walked out of there like he was John Stockton.
He's gonna replace Dylan on his rec team.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that.
Free throws.
I was just gonna say if he really does want to pursue basketball, I got you on the free lessons, man.
Okay. That's not my forte. I tell you, look,
forte. It's right up my alley. I got you.
Dylan will teach him how to not play defense.
So you're always hating
shoot
on
a lot
this
of
man.
Threes,
I won't let you do that. Disrespect
and,
this man
and choke on his free throws.
First of all, I'm a lockdown defender. I'm easily
look at the length of this.
I'm easily one of the best defenders on the court. I play great defense. I take pride in defense.
Dylan, look at the size of Dylan's hands.
I always,
it's like a Calvin Johnson's mom that's been going
I always guard whoever is the best player during our rec league games, and even pickup, I always guard the best player.
So you're the Ben Simmons of the squad?
No, I have offensive prowess as well.
Anyways, man, that's Mike. My son, I'm telling you, it lit a fire inside this young man. And he's now I just like UConn. What are we doing? You know what I mean? Is it, you know,
UConn,
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. So you're just gonna put him on the number one team in the
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like now our options are open. Now we got 14 years to situate this.
Just have Rusty film him on his TikTok and then spread it to the masses, and then boom, there you go. We can probably talk to him about that.
That's a great point.
Because Rusty, not only is he the high school football and college football and everything football and sport football guru or sport football, did I say that?
Yeah, sport football guru.
Yeah. He's also a social media king. So,
yes, he is, and he'll be joining us at 8:20 today. I cannot wait to talk to him.
Yes, he will be joining us at 8:20 today. But up next, we'll get you set for Falcons and Seahawks. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.